In the name of Jesus, amen. There are tragedies, and then there are tragedies. People still speak of truly tragic things, like death, broken relationships, or global disasters, in tragic terms. But in a world where so many things come so easily to so many, it can be surprising how trivialized tragedy has become. Ask almost anyone on the street to describe a personal tragedy, and they might tell you about a politician they didn't like that was elected, or about the time it was so hot they burned their hand on the steering wheel of the car, or about that ice skinny vanilla latte that just wasn't so skinny. So there's tragedy, and then there's tragedy. Tragedy wasn't always a relative term. In Greek times, the tragedy was a theatrical art form. The plot of the tragedy usually describes a central figure. He shows all kinds of virtues, but due to one flaw, that one tragic flaw, he ended up in a horrible state. Usually the heroes are fictional or drawn from ancient mythology. Today, though, Moses describes the greatest tragedy of all in human history. It's the movement from a blissful existence of unending life with God in the Garden of Eden face to face to the crushing reality of a broken and fallen world and certain death outside of God's garden. And this is no fiction. It really happened. This is a real tragedy, the worst in history. Even worse, this isn't a theatrical tragedy that you can just watch from a comfortable distance. This one isn't meant to educate or entertain as the ancient tragedies did. No, this real tragedy is one in which you and I are bit players. It's about Adam and Eve, but it's also about you and me. Simply put, our first parents, in their desire to be like God, lost his gifts of innocence and blessedness and holiness. Adam and Eve's identity was incomprehensible for us. God breathed into Adam the breath of life after forming him from the dust of the ground. He created Eve by hand too. Adam and Eve are the pinnacle of God's creation. Only they were those created in his image and after his likeness. So the picture of God's actions in Genesis 1 and 2 show his benevolence. And all of God's gifts are given for the benefit, for the support of Adam and Eve, all of creation for them. God the Father gives, and he gives, and he gives. He's the giver of the heavens and the earth. He's the giver of the sun and the moon and the stars and the seasons. He's the giver of the seas and all life in them. He's the giver of the land and all of its creatures. He's the giver of headship over those creatures. He's the giver of language, the giver of marriage and family. And in a remarkable act of giving, he gave Adam and Eve a truly free will. They had the capacity to turn from the one who had given them all of these things. And that's where the greatest tragedy occurred. For they turned away from God's gifts in their desire to be like God. Their turn to self-absorption, to self-will, to self-assertion is the origin of original sin. And that's where this ancient tragedy became yours and mine. For we all know how strong-willed we are. in our self-absorption, in our self-will, in our self-assertion at the expense of God and the expense of our neighbor. Because you too have wanted to do your own thing contrary to God. So what are the results of this tragedy? They're ominous and they're pervasive. Preoccupation with the self at the expense of God and neighbor is more than just breaking a rule. This kind of prideful sin breaks down all that God so freely gave to you. It breaks your relationship with God. Adam and Eve had to hide from him. It breaks your relationship with your neighbor. Adam blames it on Eve. It breaks our relationship with the world. Hard labor and toil were required to live after the fall. And it even breaks our relationship with our very own being. So many people today are confused about their very identity, who they really are. But in an amazing show of love, God does not abandon Adam and Eve, and nor does he abandon you. Instead, he promised that the seed of the woman would reverse the curse that descended upon creation. And his promises continued throughout Genesis and all of the Old Testament. In the seed of the woman, your relationship with God is restored. St. Paul says it so clearly in Romans chapter 8, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. In the seed of the woman, your relationship with your neighbor is restored. Jesus says, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who persecute you. In the seed of the woman, your relationship with the world will be renewed. Through the gift of prophecy, Isaiah looks into the future and says, behold, I create a new heavens and a new earth, and the former things shall not be remembered. In the seed of the woman, you are forgiven. Your identity as God's beloved children is restored. And St. Paul reminds you, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. So rejoice and be glad. In Christ Jesus, the tragedy of your sin and your self-will is reversed. Unlike the Greek tragedies that always ended in despair and in death, your tragic situation has been reversed by the one who took in all of your sin and all of your selfishness into his holy body on his cross. There, God's character as the giver of elaborate love is again given to you. Now he's given his very Son for your redemption and your restoration. The psalm that's appointed for today says it so well, O Israel, hope in the Lord. For with the Lord there is steadfast love, with the Lord is plentiful redemption, and he will redeem Israel from all his iniquities. As new creations in Christ, we have the privilege of living and sharing the reality of this new life in Christ. St. Paul says, we have the same spirit of faith according to what has been written, I believed, and so I spoke. We also believe, and so we also speak, knowing that he who raised Jesus will raise us also with him and bring us with you, into his presence. Your tragic situation has been reversed by God's gracious will, by the gift of his only begotten Son. The darkness and the death that had confined you as the children of Adam and Eve is now gone. The days and nights of your life are no longer limited and absorbed by your self-absorption, your self-will, and your self-assertion. Rather, the narrative of your lives, your very identity, is now defined by Jesus' death and resurrection. A death and resurrection that you've been joined to in holy baptism. We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead, we too might walk in the newness of life. So rejoice and live out the new life that is yours in Christ. From his place at the right hand of the Father, he speaks to you, "I am making all things new." Amen.